Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Live and Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. A couple more segments on this Thursday. And we go to our phone lines now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are joined by the voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, hope you had a great holiday. How's it going?
Good. DJ Parker's in his bag, huh?
Yes, he is. Parker has gotten TD going over the last couple of segments here. So
he put me in the time machine, Andrew. Like I'm now, he just took me back to like being 6 years old in the early 80s. But man,
TD was a little worried it wasn't the clean version there.
Yeah. I was stuck.
I'll tell you what, TD. You took me back by referencing David Boston.
Right.
What a great receiver reference. Like, man. Overlooked, incredibly good there with the Cardinals, all of that. That was an incredible – you took me back with that one.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I can, man. That's what it's all part of.
Andrew, we're about a week and a half removed from the end of Vanderbilt's football season, falling to Iowa in the ReliaQuest Bowl, but a historic season nonetheless, 10-3. As you've gotten a chance to kind of step back from it, no longer in the thick of the season, what's been kind of the main takeaways from what is – clearly been one of, if not the best season in Vanderbilt football?
I think I look back, guys, and reflect on all of the things that they did for the first time, whether it's the 10 victories, that's the obvious one. One of the top two bowl games that the program has ever gone to, whether you're thinking about the Gator Bowl from 1955 or this one, ReliaQuest/Outback Bowl. I think about all of the awards that they've won that you can tag with like first or second time that's ever happened. You know, Diego Pave becomes the first Heisman finalist. He becomes the second ever SEC Offensive Player of the Year with Jay Cutler. Eli Stowers becomes the third ever unanimous All-American. Head coach Clark Lee becomes just the second big whistle at Vanderbilt to win a national award. So I look back on all of it and just think back to everything that they accomplished kind of from a groundbreaking perspective.
And as the offseason begins, because that's how it goes, 2 days after the season ends, the transfer portal opens up. And sure, there's been some losses, but some big names coming back. Cade McConnell announces he's coming back. C.J. Hurd announces he's coming back. Some moves in the portal. What have you seen this staff prioritize as they look to build off of the momentum from this year?
I saw that Brock Taylor's coming back, too.
Yes, I saw that this morning.
I don't. Candidly, like, I'm not in the weeds here. I'm not over in that that recruiting suite that they've got. So that's Nick Baldessari. That's Barton Simmons and Kendall Lawson and all those guys. But don't underestimate Brock Taylor. Like, that guy is that might be one of the best kickers the program has ever had, too. Like, we didn't talk about him a lot because this offense hung so many points it didn't matter. But, man, he was lights out. He went a full year without missing a kick from Mizzou to Mizzou. So that's good too. I mean, I think probably, frankly, guys, before we even got to the transfer portal, they prioritized the quarterback position to do what they did to get Jared Curtis into this program and say, we're going to, okay, try to transition from Diego to Jared is a huge, huge get for them. That's a huge focus. That's a huge priority. Like, that's 1A. And the fact that they felt like they accomplished that in the way that they did is massive. Now, that's not a guarantee that Jared's your starting quarterback, but, you know, there's going to be a really competitive and fun quarterback watch for Vanderbilt come spring ball between Jared and Blaise Berlowitz and whoever else happens to be in that mix for them. So I think that's priority 1A. And I suspect one of the things that they did last year will continue to come into focus as the portal season plays out, which is the focus on the trenches and specifically the offensive line. They did that in a great way last year, adding Jordan White, who was, what, 3- or 4-time SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week at center, guy that's got a pro career. Vanderbilt really missed him in the ReliaQuest Bowl when he got hurt. They did a great job developing over the course of a couple of years, whether it was a Chase Mitchell, getting Cade McConnell to grow into that position a little bit, to have Glass and to have Henderson. They did a great job on that offensive line. I would suspect that, especially if you've got a quarterback like Jared Curtis, that continues to be a position that they place emphasis on.
And that's kind of – I'm putting the cart before the horse. You'll understand what I mean when I ask my next question. But you had mentioned Jared Curtis, so I'm curious from your perspective, what is it that makes you think that he's able to come in and have an instant impact as a true freshman?
Skill set. I mean, that's number one. I heard you guys talking about combine and traits and measurables and all of that sort of stuff. I'm not sitting in the recruiting suite with all of that data right in front of me, but obviously he's got a skill set that has been evaluated in a certain fashion for a number of years now by a lot of different people. And obviously Vanderbilt feels the same way. So, when Diego Pavia says, he's got some NFL traits right now, he just needs to learn. At this point, if Diego's evaluating you in a certain fashion and the way that he played and the way that Diego thinks about the game and all of that sort of stuff, that's a big deal to have Diego speak about you like that. And I suspect all of that stuff is true, right? Like, is he going to walk in and win SEC freshman of the year? We've got a lot of big expectations on him, right. And I'm sure he's got big expectations on himself. But I am very confident that there is a learning curve that he will have to manage, and that the coaching staff will have to work through as well.
So that being said, regardless of whether it's Curtis or whoever else it may be, where does this program go next? Like, how do they prove that this is not a fluke? Because last year they had to prove that the somewhat success they had the previous year was not a fluke, and they did that. But what makes you feel that they could go out and prove that the level of success they received or they achieved is not a fluke this year?
Doesn't it feel like Vanderbilt, when it comes to football and basketball, feel like they're always in a prove-it situation?
Yeah.
Hey, we just beat Alabama at home by 6. Yeah, but Tyler Hansbrough thinks that we're not that good.
Right.
Vanderbilt fans feel that and wear that on a regular basis. I don't know. I think one of the great things internally for a Clark, for a Barton, for a Candace Lee, for all of these people is, like, every move that they make isn't designed to prove something to somebody else. It's designed to build a consistent, sustained, successful program year over year. And I think the way that they have approached the past couple of years, if anything, is your signifier that they've got a stable program. Like, Clark has been extended. They clearly are involved in roster building in a certain way that is more of the modern times, or however you want to phrase it, right? It's all of this evolves because we go from this primitive NIL to rev share to rev share plus. Like, it's an ever evolving world, but they have stayed nimble through all of that. And they're obviously very active with how they're putting their roster together. So, I don't know. If somebody else can define whether an 8-win season or a 6-win season or a 10-win season, like, proves that Vanderbilt's for real. I think what is nice is that these guys are sort of just going about their business, trying to build an elite program that is sustained year over year in their own eyes, not somebody else's eyes.
Andrew, looking big picture at Vanderbilt athletics right now, I mean, what football did this year, first 10-win season program history. The basketball teams are 30-0 combined. I saw on Twitter, I think it was this morning, that students at Vanderbilt this year are starting their second semester, and they still have not seen one of their revenue teams lose at home. Football, men's basketball, women's basketball, all undefeated at home. Does it feel like these programs are feeding off each other right now, that the rising tide is lifting all of these ships, and we're seeing the fruits of all of these teams I don't want to say battling with each other, but trying to one-up each other and see this progress that we've seen across all of campus?
I mean, you certainly see it on the women's basketball side, and I'll see it tonight for a top 10 women's team taking on Missouri over at Memorial. I clearly think there is a rising tide situation happening, and that is great. I think what also has happened, and I saw someone send me something like, has anybody benefited more from the transfer portal than Vanderbilt? And clearly we have benefited from the transfer portal and the way that this era has kind of shaped itself. I would also say that this athletic department right now has also put, like, a lot of other really good factors in place. Like, you can't step away from the fact that you've got alignment. I know we've talked about that for 5 years, from Chancellor Dearmeyer to Candace Lee to Clark to on down. That is and will always remain outrageously significant. I think the fact you've got the coaches, who they are right now in place, from Clark to Corbin to Shea to Mark, is, I mean, goodness gracious, to have that quartet of coaches. And we can go down the list with Darren Ambrose and others too. I don't want to leave them out.
Right.
And then they've also done a really good job high school recruiting too. I mean, you're sitting here with the two best players, in theory, on each basketball team. Mikhail Blake's for sure, a high school prospect, and Tyler Tanner, a local high school prospect as well. I think they've been able to kind of piece together a lot of things all at once, which is really remarkably hard to do, and I know they're working hard to try to continue it too.
Last one for you, Andrew. Just as fast as football season ends, baseball season is right around the corner. I know you're looking forward to another season with the Vandy boys. Just early look at what fans can expect from this year's team under Tim Corbin.
Good question. I mean, I think I'm really curious to see how it all shapes out. I think there's going to be a lot of names that maybe bubble up that are a little bit on the younger side, especially in the pitching staff, because we go into a season with knowns, but a lot of unknowns too. Like, we saw what Connor Fennell did, being just this absolute bulldog of a pitcher who is so fun to watch, despite the fact that he throws 89 and a changeup that's down at like 81. I do think there's going to be plenty of pop on this team. I can't wait to see how Brody Johnston follows up his freshman campaign. I think he had 15, 16 home runs. I mean, he's a guy I believe that has two more years left before he can go to the draft, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that, but if he's got 2 years, I think he can take a puncher's swing at the home run record at Vanderbilt, depending on how this season goes, not to put too much pressure on him. But I think he's going to be really fun to watch, to see how he hits the baseball and how the offense comes along under Jason Esposito, the hitting coach this season, a former Vandy boy that was working with the Cleveland Guardians last year. Really smart, but there's a lot of breakout possibilities between Rust and Rigdon. They added a couple of really cool pieces in the portal. Mac Whitcomb, who's a catcher/DH. There's a growth from Holcomb and Barzee in their third seasons. It's going to be a team that I think can for those that like to get into the weeds of exit velocities and launch angles, like, it's a team that might be able to do that a lot more than the past couple of versions.
Andrew Allegretta joining us for his weekly visit on the program. Andrew, thanks for your time as always, and we'll see you over tonight at Memorial.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
See you there.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball, and he will be on the SEC Network Plus call tonight for the women's game. I'll be over on 94.9 The Fan, and TD will be there as a fan as well. So
I'm in the building.
Love it. Love it. We will wrap up the show coming up next on this TD Thursday. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.